This is CliffCentral.com.
So welcome back. It is Cliff Central on the 4th of July. It's a big day for America. It's a big day for, I guess, getting absolutely rat-ass, drinking, fireworks, bikinis, pool parties, all of that. Because it's summer, of course, you can do all that.
It's going to be so lit in America.
Indeed. College Humor is a humor which I appreciate. So they've put together this... A couple of years ago, they did this video about what an honest 4th of July barbecue will be about. So, you know, whenever we try to celebrate these things, obviously when the World Cup comes about, or whether it be Christmas or birthday parties, family get-togethers, whatever it is,
Yeah. There's
always certain elements at play. So at a barbecue, people bring certain things, and it's just always an interesting dynamic. So they made this video about what an honest 4th of July barbecue would actually be. It's just pretty funny. Let's plug that in there. Right.
Hey, fuck. I'm the first one here, even though I waited in my car for 15 minutes.
Hey, guess I'm not going to have time to poop now. That's going to screw me up for days.
Speaking of which, I brought a quart of pre-made macaroni salad. You know, the kind nobody likes.
Gross. Ooh, it's got minuscule pieces of carrot in it.
Should I just put it on the table over here, directly in the sun, so it can get nice and warm?
Perfect. Yeah, just get it out of my face.
Oh, I also didn't bring utensils, because why would I think of that?
Hey.
Hey! Zach and I have been fighting the whole way over here, and we're still kind of in it.
Yeah, it's going to be awkward for the entire party, and don't expect us to do the socially responsible thing and defuse the situation. It's just not in us. How are ya?
But we did bring most of a six-pack of beer from our fridge in a feeble attempt to hide our dysfunction.
Thank God, because I am grossly underprepared for this party. The only thing I brought are illegal Roman candles. I'm a pyromaniac, and I'm going to foist it on all of you.
Hey. That makes me really uncomfortable.
Make yourselves at home, grab a seat anywhere, they're all inexplicably wet.
Hey!
Hey guys.
Oh cool, Cynthia's dressed like a maniac.
Yeah, because I use national holidays as an excuse to show more skin.
Hey Grant, why don't you let me do the grilling so I can avoid conversation for the rest of the party?
Tell you what, Mike, I think you did a shit job at that, but I can't think of a reason to say no.
Okay, who wants to be the first to eat a burger by themselves? I'm only cooking these one at a time, so you'll all take turns eating alone.
I'll take it. I don't eat meat, but my convictions pale in comparison to my need to please other people.
Yeah, we got the relish, soggy buns, and an awkward conversation trap over at the table.
Whoever comes over here next is going to listen to my childhood memories and excruciating detail. It's not a good story, but you'll have to pretend it is.
I should know that's a trap, but I'm gonna go over there anyway.
Well, I'm gonna grab a beer that I didn't bring and hope that whoever brought them meant for them to be shared. Anyone else want one?
I'll take another because I paid for them.
Okay, who wants the next burger when it's ready in 10 minutes, huh?
Not me. I'm gonna wait until there are no burgers left and then make a big show about how I'm having a dried out Swiss and mustard sandwich, all while insisting it's what I wanted in the first place.
Ooh, should we play werewolf, forcing everybody into 2+ hours of gameplay?
No.
Great, let's play!
Quick reminder, there are 8 more hours till the sun goes down and the fireworks start, so buckle up, everyone!
Oh no!
Hey, it's Grant from College Humor.
Pretty close on to how things go, really, if everyone was completely honest with themselves.
Especially the one about the diffusing of the fighting on the way to the Brian. Then you get there, you're like, hi, everyone. Meanwhile, you've been bickering in the car.
So funny. And it's like...
I can so relate to that. You have to pretend that everything's okay.
Yeah, whether it's the 4th of July celebration or just your next bra that you go to, I'm pretty sure you can find those characters, you can find those things. I love the guy with the macaroni salad that no one wants to eat. We'll just put it in the sun. It's like a token gesture. It's like, hi, I've tried. Here it is, my
and
offering.
And the meat's never really all like together. And I'm a non-meat eater.
Forever.
It's like, shame, you eat and then your friend next to you is staring at you while you're eating, so you have to offer them like a piece of the meat.
Yeah.
It's too funny.
All right, well, Sia and Gareth are going to be joining us very soon. They're, of course, in London right now. They've got a whole bunch of interesting interviews that they're getting through from day to day, and it is one of the best weeks to be in London in the history of being in London.
Dude.
Because it's like, it's warm and people are happy.
Wimbledon.
And Gareth, thankfully, doesn't have to take selfies this time around because he's got Sia to take the photos for him. Yeah, you know, Gareth takes so many selfies. He's actually one
he's
of the best.
He's got good skin. I would too.
He does?
Mate, what? Did you just ask if Gareth has good skin? You're clearly not looking at what I'm looking at.
Oh, I know you went for a vampire facial recently.
Those are the bum. I didn't see him before the vampire facial, so I'm not sure what his skin looked like before. But best believe it's working.
But I mean, are vampire facials done by all people, or is this...
So, vampire facials were made famous by Kim Kardashian, who then obviously did an episode on the Keeping Up with the Kardashians, where you know how it works. They basically prick your skin.
So they prick your skin and then they massage the blood into your face.
Yes, but they take out the plasma-rich part of the blood and they put it back onto your skin. So that's the part that makes your skin super baby-like and beautiful like Gareth's is now. It didn't work on me, but it worked on Gareth.
Beautiful and baby-like like Gareth's right now.
As in his skin, please go look on his Instagram. And when I was sitting here the other day, I was like, damn, I need to go where you're going for that.
Wow. Okay, Poppy. Well, that's why we needed more of a sort of feminine interest on the show, because that would be lost. Because Sia can't look past his own skin. And then I miss these altogether. So Gareth will be well chuffed. I'm sure he'll listen to this podcast as a fine moment and that someone's actually taking note of his vanity projects.
Well, someone must.
Nice. Good for that. You hear about this woman that was... she was dead... I don't know how to actually phrase this properly. She was dead, but she was found alive. She was in a Cartonville mortuary fridge. You can't... It's becoming so hard to parody things in this country. You can't make things up because this is an actual story.
This is my biggest
fear. She was declared dead, but then she was put into one of those fridges, but she was actually alive. Anyway, let's get to Gareth and Steer and maybe pick the story up a little bit later, because that's just weird. Hey, guys.
Hey, I actually heard that story about the dead woman here, believe it or not.
She was certified dead at the scene of a pileup outside Carltonville. And so basically there's a massive car crash and two were killed and then she not so much dead. She must have got the fright of her life though.
Well, I always wonder what it's like for the people around someone who they think is dead, but then she turns out not to be dead. Because they carry on treating her like she's, you know, not a living person. And then she sits up. Can you imagine the fear of God that those people must have?
And then what do you do? Do you offer a cup of coffee? Do you let her make a phone call? Like, what's the next step?
Oh, hey, Deirdre.
Do you even know her name at that point?
It's hilarious. So I take it you guys had a big night last night.
We've had a big 2 days. Yesterday was incredible. The schedule was chock full, as we've explained already, and it's really just going extremely well. We've got so much cool stuff to show you and play for you when we get back. So when we last left you, we were talking about all the exciting meetings and the experiences that we'd had on Monday. Yesterday we went to the biggest department store in the world. It's called Selfridges.
Have
you been there, Ben? You know what I'm talking about?
Gareth, when I was 18, I went there when I was the last time I was in London. But of course, the show Mr. Selfridges was a huge hit. Mm. It was for people like me. And it's an institution.
So we met with a guy called Bruno, who told us a whole behind-the-scenes personal shopping sort of story about how the celebrities do it and how they find outfits for them, and they never have to go and mix with anyone else. And they get put in a room, and there's a secret entrance, and you can shower, and you can have lunch, and then they bring you, 10 or 12 different. Poppy, you would love this.
Oh my goodness!
It sounds good.
Poppy, you would die there, because this entire personal shopping experience is to the side of the store. So as much as there's a store open to everyone else, and even that is at an amazing standard and quality, but this personal shopping is reserved and secluded. There's a private entrance that you can use. So nice. If you are a Victoria Beckham, you can enter the store and no one else sees you. There are people at your beck and call. It looks really, Gareth, doesn't it look like a hotel suite in there?
Yeah. So you have a little sofa, and there's this mirror that sort of half surrounds you, and then they bring you tea or coffee or whatever else you need. And the best thing is that I suppose people don't know, but the service is actually free. So if you phoned up Selfridges and you said, I'm coming to London for a day and a half,
Yeah.
I need to buy an outfit for a wedding, or I'm going to a special occasion or whatever it might be. So I need to look at three different outfits, and these are the kinds of things I like, and this is the sort of color scheme I'm looking for, whether you're a girl or a guy. And then they'll give you this, and this experience is free. Jeez. They don't charge you for that. They'll only charge you for the items you buy. It's incredible. And Selfridges, as Ben's already hinted at, was started by a guy called Selfridge. They don't sell fridges. They sell everything else, though. That's their lie.
Harry, the gallivanting American called Harry.
There we go. And here's an interesting thing. Like shopping, the way we do it now, you walk into, let's say, a clothing store, and you walk around and you browse. You actually look at what's on the rails, right?
Mm.
That never happened before Selfridges. Selfridges was the first store that did that. Before that, people used to have to phone the shop or arrive at the shop, and they would say to you, what would you like? And you'd say, I want a black hat. And they'd go and look in the back of the place, and they'd find two or three black hats, and they'd say, any of these, do you like these? And if you said, yes, I do like it, but you didn't buy it, that sales assistant would be fined for not making the sale.
No.
And you would be publicly outraged too. They would throw fruit on you in the street as being a sales tease.
Right.
Yeah, it was a rough time.
What an it was amazing.
And the thing is, you couldn't just willy-nilly look at things. And you go, well, I'd like to see the red one and maybe the burgundy one. And maybe if you got one in tan, they'd be, shut your face. You'll have the black one and you'll like it.
Here's your black hat, bitch. You know, step off. After that, we went for a really lovely lunch with some fascinating people who run the Global Entrepreneurs Program for the Department of International Trade in London for the UK government, and met a couple of interesting people. There's a guy called Chad who's done amazing stuff. He's got his own businesses, among other things. He's worked in Canada, in the US, and here for entrepreneurship organizations. And we went to play these games after lunch called the GEP Startup Games. So there are a whole lot of actual companies, the actual CEOs of these companies from all over the world, India, Russia, America, just about everywhere. And they all pitch their businesses to you individually. So you have, they come up to you, you go up to them, and there's an app that you have on your phone with £1 million on it. Not an actual £1 million. But £1 million of virtual money. And then you decide, oh, I'm going to buy into that company, or I'm going to buy into that one. And you watch the stock prices go up and down. And at the end of it, you kind of take your £1 million, and you should, if you're any good, turn it into, you know, £2 million or whatever it might be. I think, Sia, how much did you turn yours into?
Hey, this is a bit of a sore point. Because I think eventually it doesn't sound as grand as what some of the winners got, but I ended up making, I think, 7.8 million eventually.
Oh, yes. That's a hell of a return. Imagine Gin's you take £1 million, turn seven, huh?
What did you back? Who did you back?
It was a variety of companies, but you know, I always listen to Anthea every Monday, and I
blow it out your ass. Yeah, you don't listen to Anthea. No, you were speculating.
No, he did. He invested in a company called Safe and the City, which is it's like a Waze for pedestrians, and particularly for women, to warn them about where the dangerous parts of town are, so that they can be aware.
Nice.
You know, now you're entering a place where you know there are a lot of thieves, or there are a lot of people who might be, you know, this is quite a rough part of town. And then women will actually be warned wherever they happen to be that, you know, this is a part of town you need to be specially aware. Cool. So it's like Waze warns you about accidents ahead of you.
So
this will say, you know, last Thursday there's an incident here, you need to be extra careful. And you know, if there are gangs in an area or whatever. I mean, it's hardcore, but for women, that could be a very useful app that could end up going to market very soon. I mean, these are actual businesses.
So you could be walking home and you see like an old man in a car outside of a school, and you could like report that straight away to the app.
Correct.
Very smart.
Sia actually is listed as the sixth best investor.
Wow.
When he finished, he says he had seven, but he had £10,421,000 at the end of it.
You're onto something.
Yeah, and his biggest investment was that Safe in the City.
Mm, and had great returns.
That's great. Eleanor, who works with the Department of International Trade, she had played this game before. She retired with £15 million. Mm. So she came second overall, and I came eighth with £9 million. So not bad.
Very good, guys.
Out of I think it was a total of, 80, no, hang on, even longer, 92 people. So I'm very proud of my 11th
top
place
10, that's solid. And just imagine if there's that real, if that was real money, you would spend the rest of the day in that personal shopping stuff.
Bloody right.
Oh yeah. There was a Christian Louboutin, pair of Christian Louboutins with my name there. I think I would have gone back to get those.
Yeah, I'll send a picture to Ben so that he can see what we're talking about, and he can maybe put it up on cliffcentral.com.
Well,
it's a great picture.
Your Instagram feed's very useful. You got some nice pics. The pic of the barber was very good.
Oh, yeah. You like that, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh, that was very fancy. Truefitt and what is it called, Gareth?
Hill. Truefitt and Hill.
Truefitt and Hill. That's where the Duke of Edinburgh also goes and gets his needs tended to. But at the same time, I was able to, because anything pertaining to the royals, I dig a bit deeper. And the staff were actually let me know that they just get summoned very randomly when the Duke is ready for his haircut or a trim, and they go to him. They don't really get much warning ahead of time. So
he's old now, so he used to go to the store to have a shave or a haircut, and now they go to the palace and they do it for him. There's a woman called Wendy who goes across. You know, so there'll be a phone call and someone will say, "Hey, Prince Philip requires your services at 10:15. And then she'll, you know, hop on her bike or she'll take a quick brisk walk with all of her equipment, and she'll, you know, pitch up at the palace and say, "I'm here for the haircut."
I think it's so fabulous.
And he'll be like, "Why is it bloody late?"
Exactly.
Now get your trousers off and start sniffing.
Oh, is that how it starts?
Well, I'm pretty sure that's how The Crown depicted it on Netflix.
Oh, this is not just conjecture from you.
On The Crown. Never.
So to go back to the Global Entrepreneurship Program Games, it was really fun. We I think they're going to be doing a similar program in South Africa at some point, so stay tuned for that, because it'll be a great place for people who have startup ideas in South Africa to kind of explain their idea and see how well the market would take to it, because it's a real game with some very interesting kind of real-world consequences in the game. So it gives you some insight into what you need to do to improve your idea, what you could do better, what you might want to change, that kind of thing. And afterwards, we went for drinks and kind of kept being updated about the England game, which was very exciting.
Sure.
Went to penalties, and we were sitting with a friend of mine, a girl called Pierre, who's a barrister here in England, very, very smart. She has to wear, because, you know, our advocates in South Africa don't wear wigs or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But here they still wear a wig and their gown, and they have to, you know, follow a whole lot of ceremonial stuff whenever they appear in court, say things like "May it please the court" and that kind of thing, which in South Africa you don't have to do as much. Very interesting. And after dinner we went to a little pub where
that's the part of the story I want to hear.
Oh, here we go. I think I was really, it's just only normal though. When Beyonce comes on, it just evokes a certain reaction in me. And actually what I love about the UK is that their dancing trends are at least 3 seasons behind. So you instantly become a rock star just by pulling out a little moves here and there. That was cool, actually.
Gareth, how many times have you maybe accidentally tried to lose Sia while you guys have been walking the streets?
No, Sia's been great. He's the thing about Sia is that you can put him in just about any place with any group of people, and he kind of knows what to do.
Yeah, he is good like that.
I would have to say I dot my I's and I cross my T's pretty well.
So yeah. you guys went to a pub. I mean, Sia, you had massive aspirations towards having a big night out towards these things yesterday. Did you guys get a bit hammered? Did you meet locals? Were you watching the game with like some crusty men, or how did it go? We need details here.
In the afternoon, we were really looking forward to going out on the town because England was playing and we were ready for that atmosphere. But just as the time, because I think the game started here at 8 o'clock our time.
Yeah.
I was really anticipating the streets to go wild and to hear the roars from a while away. And there really wasn't much buzz. Maybe it was where we were in terms of the city. But it just was another moment.
I mean, I think everybody went home from work early yesterday and they were watching at home or they were watching with each other. But the streets themselves were empty because obviously there are no big TVs around in the streets.
Well, you can't have that thanks to ISIS. You can't have big public gatherings like that anymore.
Yeah, so I think that's probably part of why it was like that. But it went very, very well.
We saw of the soccer action because we were at dinner when it really got meaty. Were two tables at the restaurant. One guy was live streaming the game from his
no way, man.
Date.
Yeah,
sweet.
He was on a date.
And he was completely ignoring his date and watching the and watching everything on his screen. And then there was a table of people with a birthday next door who went crazy. And then there was a table of sort of old. They looked like the Real Housewives of London. Yeah. And some of their men, and they were all sitting up screaming, "Ah, go Harry Kane, you good thing," that kind of thing, you know.
She's Harry Kane is going to have to beat off these women with a baseball bat when he gets back from Russia, even if they lose the next match.
Love him,
Shapers. He's going to they're going to tear him to pieces. These orange women in the last few days of summer when he gets back.
Orange women.
So Ben and Poppy, this is quite funny, and we're trying to introduce theatre to all kinds of London, not just you know, the smart things and the interesting people that we meet in these interviews. We're also trying to get in to meet like people on the street and, you know, ordinary Londoners and a couple of Cockneys and people from neighborhoods that he might not necessarily get to on a tourist trip. And we can't even get Sia to say "in it" properly.
Please try, Sia.
I must have the roughest, oddest tongue. The only thing that I've managed to say slightly in a British accent is just, yeah.
And remember, there are about 200 kinds of British accent. Sia hasn't got any of them right.
It is so horrible. So, Gareth, I actually don't know where I'm going wrong. I think it sounds good in my head. It's just a, yeah, isn't it?
So yesterday we got in a cab, and the cab driver was a real Cockney. And Eleanor was trying to pay for the cab ride with her credit card. So there's a machine in the back, and he says, "Hey, put your card in a slot, love." And then she put her card in, and then as soon as she sort of pressed the pin in, it started working. And right, now we're working all now we're cooking all classical gas. And Sia looked at me like, "What the fuck did he just say?" It's hilarious.
That's like, so can I have subtitles for this? But you were saying, Gareth, that I sound like I'm saying innards when I try to say innit.
You know, if you say, "Oh, we're going to innit," or what's happening in that shop window? That's pretty good, innit? See, I can't say any of that. He sounds ridiculous. So it's slow, you know, slow progress, but we'll get him there eventually.
Okay, very nice. And as far as the day ahead today, when are you guys back, by the way? Is it you back on Monday or Tuesday?
We're back on Tuesday because we fly in on Monday morning. We'll land just after the show.
So you leave. Okay, so that's what I was getting at. So you leave on Sunday. So you've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Okay, so what's the full Wednesday looking like?
Oh, Wednesday. Today's going to be great. We've got quite a lot going on. We've got a breakfast meeting now at 8:30, which is going to be with Paul Van Sale at the Carinthia Hotel. And he's a very interesting guy. We'll record that interview and let you hear what his story is. But he actually does some governmental work. He's very involved in South African companies here in the UK and in getting businesses in South Africa that are UK-linked to sort of get the assistance they need from the department here. And he's been involved in very many of the big startups in South Africa that have come from Britain. We're having a lunch with a guy called Alistair Lukies at the Shard. You know, the Shard is that big that massive big building in near Canary Wharf.
Yep. That looks like a shard of glass.
That's right. I'm interviewing the Garter King of Arms, who's the man who handles all royal protocol and ceremonial, and is in charge of the College of Arms, which is the place that issues coats of arms to everyone. So anybody in the UK who is entitled to inherit a family coat of arms, or who wants to have their own coat of arms done, has to do it through Garter and his heralds. And it's a fascinating position. He's, you know, it's one of the most ancient sort of roles in England. And Garter King of Arms used to be, and still in some ways is, a very powerful man in the machinery of state. So, you know, when it comes to a king or queen dying, he's the one who actually reads out their titles and styles before they get buried. He's also the one who announces the new king from a balcony in St. James's Palace called Friary Court, and says, you know, long live, the king is dead, long live the king, and then reads out what's going to happen. So as an actual herald, which is what, you know, it's an old sort of role on the battlefield of someone who would call out the situation of the battle, who's fighting who, give the news, all that kind of thing. It's a modern role that used to have very ancient origins.
So will he eventually say the queen is dead, long live the king?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah, when she dies.
He's the same guy that would have given Meghan Markle and Prince William their coat of arms, their new one.
Yeah, he designed Meghan Markle's coat of arms. Harry obviously has his own because he inherits his father's with a different marking on it. And he's the one who probably would have trawled through the history books to find the right title for them. So he would have chosen or presented to the Queen a number of options and said, what about Duke and Duchess of Sussex?
This is so exciting.
This is going to be so interesting when you ask him questions about Meghan's family. Because obviously, you know, you got to ask him, so what do you think of her dad? Well, come on, be honest, mate. Ask him that in those words.
Oh, God. I'll probably be chased out of there. And the College of Arms, by the way, is a very ancient place. They've got parchments and manuscripts which are, you know, hundreds of years old and have drawings in, you know, the most incredible condition in dark rooms that you can't even have natural light on. Very interesting.
So, yeah.
And then we're going for a quick meeting with the Prince's Trust, which is obviously Prince Charles, William and Harry's charity that does all the work all over South Africa and Africa and the world. And they're very involved in our country, in Lesotho, with the Centre Village Trust and a number of other things. So I don't know who we're going to meet there, but it might be some very important people. And I know Sia is more excited about that than anyone else.
Hey, I'll be nice to everyone else. Even though I'm trying to get closer to the royals, as soon as I find that, I'll be great.
Oh, very good. So, Sia, what are the other sort of hotspots that you're looking to do that you're worried that Gareth might not let you go to? I know you guys have a schedule, and I know it's your first time in London, so what are the things that you need to do? Get it out now by talking to us if you feel a bit nervous to tell Gareth you still want to do it.
Well, I've already told Gareth around this Instagrammable place called Serial Killer Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've heard about this place. This is so you.
Okay, so you aren't even surprised by this. But it is, I just have always seen it from social media. It's this place where you can go and you buy specialized cereal from all around the world. And you can also sit down and have cereal at any time of the day. You can even, to my understanding, even book it out if you have enough money for like a little party or an event. So I'll eventually find that somewhere somehow. And it would be cool to pop by there. And as well, what I've been trying to do is just engage with the true Londoners about where they often go and the places that they frequent. And it was actually at one of our meetings yesterday. I got recommendations of different restaurants. This guy was actually kind enough to send us a list of his favorite restaurants and places he goes and different foods like Peruvian, and he was highlighting all of these different food styles. So that's exciting. Somehow I'll make my way through that. And yeah, because everywhere you go, you see these landmark sites, you know, you see the palace, you see the London Eye, you walk over these iconic bridges. So for now, the typical touristy stuff I'm happy with and I'm done. So now it's about getting a bit deep and discovering some more of the true London, as is to the people who live here.
And are you guys going to go swing past Wimbledon at any stage? Because you know you can go sit on that hill with all the other sort of English people looking to get a tan.
No.
Gareth's not interested.
Very good.
Yeah, that was very, very quick from Gareth. No, but I think it's a decision of the time going there. Right, Gareth?
Yeah, it's a little bit, you know, Wimbledon's not exactly in walking distance from everywhere else in London where we are. So it would be and look, it's not the end of the world. It's a little train ride. What we're going to do is probably on Sunday, which is the night we fly out. But during the day on Sunday, we have some free time. So we might go off to West London and maybe, you know, go past Wimbledon, pop in, see what it's like. But I do think if you really want to see anything, you kind of need to have tickets. And, you know, Wimbledon's a social event that people plan years in advance to have tickets for.
It's a good point. With international cities like this, there are so many people, and we can never quite grasp the scale of it sitting here down in lowly South Africa, but it is. And they have such few summer days that it is. It's like they live their lives for these moments. And that's why you have people that do things like Wimbledon and go see these stage performances and other things.
Absolutely. And you know, this is kind of last week, this week, and I think two more weeks. It's what they call the season. So you have everything from Royal Ascot to Wimbledon to cows to the Henley Regatta, which we're going to on Friday. So, you know, we're getting to see a little bit of it. You can't see all of it unless you have weeks and weeks and weeks to waste. And for many people, these are also, you know, the highlights of a lifetime. You kind of go to Wimbledon. You only need to do that once in your life. I mean, if you really are a fan, you can go more than that. But it's an experience rather than just another sports event.
All right, very good.
Yeah. All right, how are things going over there? Anything I need to know?
Gord's under the weather, unfortunately, Gareth. He's not here. He's feeling a bit sickly, so thoughts and prayers with him, basically.
Hashtag thoughts and prayers.
It is the coldest week of the year.
Yeah, you guys are missing out on this cold front.
Yeah.
You are so lucky.
Oh, I've heard.
We are so sad.
If you were driving to work today, you would have seen -2 on the car thermometer, which is always nice.
Shucks.
Jane's still angry. She's very angry at the moment. I'm not entirely sure why. I think it's got to do with Eskom or something.
Petrol price has gone up.
Petrol price just went up. Yeah, we did a full breakdown of where that money goes to now be more than 16 rand a litre. The Renegades were here yesterday pre-recording. They're going to be here again today. So I got to chat to Angry Jonathan Witt and Roman, of course.
Jonathan.
Yeah, such lovely people.
But good otherwise.
Yeah, Gareth, otherwise things are ticking over. The lights are on. The streaming's fine. Everything's actually okay.
Yeah, everything's hundreds.
Poppy's brilliantly punctual and reliable. Sibongile in the booth here is doing everything that she normally does. So yeah, things are going well.
Good. Well, I know how important it is that, you know, people get things done and that everything runs and that everything's working in our absence, but I had no doubt it would be. And thanks for looking after things.
Cool. Before you go, I need to talk about that interview you had with the cyborg guy.
Yes, that was so brilliant.
Oh, good. Did you listen to it?
Yeah.
I listened to it, and halfway through I was thinking, like, it's quite difficult because I was trying to do some work at the same time. But it's one of those interviews you've really got to concentrate because the two of you have almost, like, met your perfect match there.
Yeah, you know.
And I'm guessing that guy goes through life many cuck interviews one after the other where guys ask stupid questions. They try humor him rather than understand him, whereas it generally felt like you developed understanding for what this guy is about quite early in the interview, and as a result he shared so much and he made some really amazing points. I mean, is that something that you felt that happened there?
Did you connect?
Look, I mean, I think he's a bit odd, but you've got to treat every person that you interview with a level of respect. You're only going to find out interesting things from them if they think that you are going to treat them as an equal.
Sure.
If they think that you're going to mock and ridicule them, then why would they sit down for an interview with you?
True.
And in this guy's case, he's gone and had an antenna put into his body. It's attached to his skull. He can't detach it. He's got a cyber, you know, a new sensory device, which is part of his biology now. So he considers himself, you know, a sort of interspecies creature. And as a result, you know, take him at face value and ask him what that's like. Ask him what it feels like. I mean, I even asked him, do you take it off when you go to sleep at night? And, you know, does it feel irritating to sort of turn over in your sleep? Do you have a special pillow? That kind of thing. But I think the real interesting question here is, could this be how humans start to become, that we start to attach things to ourselves that are technological, that we start to put implants into our bodies that give us, I mean, there are, you could technically argue that there, you know, anyone who has a titanium plate in their knee or in their skull is some kind of cyborg. And what he was saying that I thought was interesting is that it opens up a world of a whole new species and a whole new kind of human, which is exciting. So no, I didn't connect with him especially. I think he felt he was being asked relevant questions by someone who was genuinely interested in what he was up to. But he's decidedly different to the rest of us.
Yeah.
And totally. I'm being polite. He was walking around with this antenna in his head, and you know, everybody sort of looks and goes, "Ooh, that's a bit odd." To him, he says he can hear colors. I don't know how to interpret that. It's interesting that any of our senses, you have to learn. That's why, you know, people who have, let's say, a cochlear implant in their ear, they have to relearn hearing. And this is the same thing. Maybe he's using the inputs from this antenna or from wherever to figure out a world of color, because he was born colorblind. So he's an artist as well, and he interprets color as a sound wave. And it's you know, understandable that someone might be able to do that. Everything we see, light waves, are all a kind of wave. So if he can hear them through this antenna, then maybe it's his way of interpreting the world. Who knows? It's very interesting.
Yep. Well, it's also a great form of expression, because this guy clearly is expressing himself in different ways. So rather this than, I don't know, becoming an axe murderer from being a frustrated accountant.
Oh, yes. No, that's, Ben, anything that's not an axe murderer is a good life decision.
Exactly.
We're grateful for that.
Spot on. All right, guys, it's also the 4th of July. It's also the 4th of July, so no doubt you're going to be inundated with Americanisms, because London is such an international city. I know most people, when they go there, they often say, well, we've actually met very few British people, which is often the case that can happen in London. So, Sia, try new things. And we wish you guys all the best for your big day ahead.
Enjoy.
Thanks. We'll chat to you tomorrow and or Friday. Cool.
All right. And if you can get some voice clips of like Cockney people and Sia trying to actually either engage with them or get taught how to be Cockney, that would also be great. Because after your cab story, I can only imagine how cringe it is having this whole interaction process.
It's very good. We'll definitely try. Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Poppy.
Sure. Cheers, guys.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Ciao, everybody. Cool.
Perfect, folks. Chat to you later.
Ciao. Bye, bye, bye.
Sure, they're living.
Bye, bye, bye. Yeah, so Sia spoke about the serial killer place.
Yes.
It's just cereal. You can just go there.
I would be in my element.
Any time of the day. So you can go have Fruit Loops or
Cocoa Pops
or Cocoa Pops and Fruit Loops and whatever you want.
Can you mix stuff?
Yeah, it is crazy. A friend of mine went there and he's a cereal nuts, just like Sia. Because Sia, he looks 12 because he eats like he's 12. So you'll see him sometimes and he'll have a bowl of Fruit Loops and he's so impressed with himself. And you can do that. You go to this restaurant, this place, and it looks really cool because you got wall-to-wall. Like, cereal boxes are a big deal. I know in England, when I was, my family is from there originally. So as a kid, I went there for the first time when I was 4.
Wow.
And it was the most incredible thing because they put so much time and effort into cereal culture there. So you get like the little boxes, you get to breakfast, there'll be like little boxes of cereal. And even when you stay in the hotels there. So little boxes of cornflakes or Frosties or whatever it is, and you get to choose a little box. And this restaurant is, for every kid who ever thought that was impressive, there is an actual place for it. Yeah. But London is an amazing place this time of year, and I'm really jealous, and I hope they have great stories when they come back. So, you know, when Gareth goes away...
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't party, they don't do anything really scandalous, so just tape your expectations for the good stories. It'd be more around the guests than the actual social stuff.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Just throwing that out to you, letting you know. All right, that's our Wednesday. It's Tuesday. Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
I'm losing the plot here. Wednesday, 4th of July. If you are an Americanist, we wish you a happy 4th of July. We're going to play another clip from the College Humor. So obviously with holidays and that kind of stuff, you also get road trips.
Mm.
So we started the hour off by your sort of honest 4th of July barbecue celebration. So here we're going to play your honest road trip. And I'm pretty sure with kids' holidays coming up, they always seem to be coming up, you can totally relate to this kind of stuff. Or sort of an adult sense.
I cannot wait to travel 5 hours to get drunk and play board games when we easily could have done that here in our own homes.
Check out these disgusting snacks I brought. It's all junk food that no one should ever eat.
Oh my god, gas station trail mix. I'm gonna eat this all now, even though I know it needs to last us the whole trip.
I'm pretending to be chill because I don't want to be the dad of this trip, but I am very annoyed that we're starting this behind schedule. Let's go!
Yeah!
All right. So this is not fun or cool, but before we head out, I have to give you guys my list of personal rules for passengers in my car.
I'm not paying attention.
I'm busy trying to get comfortable because of my complete lack of boundaries.
Oh, I hate all of this, but I'm not going to say anything for fear of being labeled a buzzkill. So let's just all put our seatbelts on.
Actually, I don't wear a seatbelt because of my warped idea of what freedom means to me.
Okay. Well, your thought process is extremely dumb, and if I get a ticket, I'm going to lose my mind. This was a mistake!
I'm being absurdly quiet because I am insanely bored.
I made a total mess back here, and I have no intention of cleaning it up.
Okay, well, here's a joke about traffic in an attempt to hide my obvious rage.
That's funny.
Oh, get off here. I don't have any sense of direction, but I'm going to take us on a shortcut.
Brennan, I have a lot of thoughts about your driving, and I'm not afraid to share them with you because I think I'm a better driver than you.
Okay. Well, I'm laughing like I agree with you, but I would never let you drive my car. You're a maniac.
Hey, Brennan. No idea where we are. No clue for near an exit, but I do need to go to the bathroom.
Oh, me too. I've been holding it for hours. I didn't want to be an inconvenience.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to resent you for bodily functions that you guys can't possibly control.
Great.
Awesome. I'm about to burst.
Me too, but emotionally.
Mm. I'm going to read random road signs aloud just to try to break the silence. Fireworks next exit.
I hope you're ready to hear me complain about my weird sunburn for the rest of this trip.
Oh, hey, let's play a game to pass the time. I spy with my little eye the first thing I look at that's like super obvious.
I'm not interested. I'm going to be on my phone to distract myself from talking to all of you.
Brennan, I have to go to the bathroom. I didn't go the last time we stopped because I thought I could hold it, but I can't.
Here's a half-hearted attempt to relate about sports or something?
That actually reminds me of a deeply personal and off-topic story about my sex life, and we're just gonna have to sit with that.
Oh my god, finally! I crave juicy gossip. It'll trick me into enjoying this trip more.
This is making me deeply uncomfortable, so I'm gonna switch to some loud music and distract everybody.
Oh, I say that I hate this song, but actually I really love it.
Oh, me too.
I don't know this song, but I'll pretend to so I can fit in.
I know all the words, and I'm singing as loudly as I can.
And I'm singing the harmony, so you should be impressed with me.
We should!
Brennan, I have to go to the bathroom now.
In my sunburn!
I find awkward humor so funny because we as humans actually have so many awkward moments.
Too many.
Like
I
road
live
trips.
For awkward moments.
These road trips are actually a fine example of that. Such a cool idea. It's also like, oh, we were going to go do dinner. I'm sure there's an honest video about that as well. And then you sit and have dinner with people and it gets quite bad. I'm going to wrap it up with, if you have a Samsung phone, there could be a bit of an issue. We know that, what was that? There was that certain, the Note something or other.
It's the Note 7. And was that, the one that was exploding.
It was exploding, so you couldn't go onto planes with it, and it really wasn't so good. Now, I'm not obviously taking a pot shot at Samsung here. They are incredible phones, and every phone company has had their issues, but there's a very strange and awkward issue now that has popped up through the Samsung messaging app. So according to, this is from Gizmodo, according to user reports, the problem stems from Samsung messages. So Samsung, like all other manufacturers, they get the Android operating system, and then they do their own kind of thing with certain things. They put a different skin on it, and they have different sort of functions. So the defaulting text app on Galaxy devices, which for some reasons hasn't been determined, is erroneously sending pictures stored on the device to random contacts via SMS. It is sending potentially interesting photos, information, whatever, to random people without your consent. And the scariest part about this bug is when Samsung messages, the actual product program, bugs out and sends pictures to other people, it doesn't leave any evidence of it doing so, which means that people may not know their photos have been released until it's too late. So
this,
you can't
worry,
you can't look at your sent items or anything that tracked like that to go and check, like, oh shit, let me go check if this is actually happening to me. You can't tell, because it's all, there's no paper trail of this kind of stuff.
No.
So we had the Facebook breach, we've had various sort of breaches or supposed breaches of our secret stuff, but now this, that dodgy here.
This is so worrying. I'm literally going to delete photos just in case it migrates.
Yeah,
to
you shouldn't
devices.
Really have anything too risky on your phones. I think we know in 2018 you can't have that. Or other side of the coin,
define risky.
Great icebreaker if this just pops up to the right person at the right time with the right photo.
Hey, or you could just send the photo and pretend it's a mistake.
Could do. On that note, we're going to wrap it up. Tomorrow will be Thursday. All being well, Justice Malala will be in for the Burning platform. And with that, you'll get up to date with all the burning current affairs. And they are burning. They are burning. They are definitely burning. And no one can do it quite like Justice. So he'll be in tomorrow. More from the epic adventures of Gareth and Sia. I'm seeing that as a...
Sounds like a TV show.
Cartoon, animated TV show, when to happen. And if you missed any of the other podcasts from this week so far, of course, the interview with the Cyborg Gareth is talking about all on cliffcentral.com, Anthea's finance, my sport. Go on to cliffcentral.com and make it all happen. And we shall catch you tomorrow.
This is cliffcentral.com.